We are talking to Mr. Ezra Wittenberg for the Black Heritage Project. This is take number 3. It's July 9th, 1990. And we're talking in West Union, and this is Yolanda Harrell. Mr. Wittenberg, you said before we got started and on some of my questions I was going to ask you, that you want to talk about how you met your wife and how you happened to get married.
Yeah, all right. And then to another thing that's come to me about the hospital situation back when I first married, too.
Okay.
Relative to the birth of my children.
Okay.
See. Now, you know, when sometimes, you know, those things slip by, you know, but you call my attention to it.
Yes, sir.
When I say I'm finished talking about this particular unit thing.
Yeah. See?
By these two stumps of wood I have here.
Okay.
While I'm reserving them.
Okay.
See? All right, now, when I first, my first trip here at this place, one of her older sisters and I were college classmates.
Oh, I see.
Back then, we called ourselves my big brother.
Mm-hmm.
That was our, you know, social relationship, see?
Yeah, yeah.
And that was my first trip up here in 1927.
Mm-hmm.
See? I don't know the date. I couldn't give you the date, but I can give you the month and the date.
Mm-hmm.
First Sunday in May, 1927.
Mm-hmm.
The day I met my wife.
Oh, nice.
All right. No, first Saturday I met.
First Saturday. Okay.
The Sunday School Convention, which is an organization in the Black Baptist Church, one of the auxiliaries of the Central River Association.
Uh-huh.
They have Sunday school group, you know, where we meet and have our training sessions and things like that. We would meet on Thursday
mm-hmm.
night, Friday,
uh-huh.
and Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And we would end up on Sunday with a worship service. See, all the several different ones of workers in the Sunday school. And we had our units, you know, of instruction and what have you, how to conduct Sunday school and things like that. And there was the time, it was folks that had always come, start before the fourth Sunday of July. And my first trip over here, I came over here to see another girl whose name Loretta Giddens. She lived down there right across in front of St. Paul Baptist Church. You know where that is on 59?
No, but that's all right. You go ahead.
All right, then. And I was driving my father's car. My father had a 26 Dodge, one of them open top timers, you know, two seated.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave me the direction, and I got to Seneca to go down what is now Old 59.
Uh-huh.
Many, you know, it's been changed.
Yeah.
The location of the road's been changed and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But when I got there, you know, it didn't have road names back then. It just a county road, see?
Uh-huh.
Just like a little beaten path and things like that. Then any of the roads had a name.
Yeah.
And I got there and I missed it, and I found myself in Westminster.
Oh, okay.
I got in Westminster and I saw a black man on the street. And I asked him, "What's St. Paul Church?" You see.
Uh-huh.
See, if I had gone down for 59, well, that's the way I used to always go
mm-hmm.
until they put number 11.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I always go when I went to Atlanta, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the only way, you know, access to 59
right.
here.
Right,
right. Wait a minute, let me get myself together here. Just a minute, he told me,
mm-hmm.
and he told me down at to turn the road that would go right by her house, mm-hmm. between there and a little place called Fairplay. You know where Fairplay is?
Yes, sir.
Fairplay was just, they had a little old, one of these little stoves there. That was the only thing they had there that I saw that day.
Mm-hmm.
See? Because it was years before I went back there, and maybe they had some other things there. You know, that I don't remember just
yeah.
that, see. Yolanda, I went there and stopped at that store. There's about five or six white men there.
Mm-hmm.
Around that store, on Sunday morning, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped there and asked them for St. Paul's Church,
mm-hmm.
see. And the man told me, but he took it. Well, he talked to me very sarcastically.
Mm-hmm.
I know he didn't like it. And I didn't know at that time they didn't allow no niggas to stop there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got out there, I mean, after he told me,
mm-hmm.
I went back and got in my car. And I saw two fellas come running out the store. And it was a self-starter.
Uh-huh.
See, one of the first cars they put self-starter on was a Dodge.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you know that.
No, I don't
know. Dodge was the first one
uh-huh.
that made a self-starter for their car.
What
see?
Do you
say? And But the starter and the generator, as we used to call it, what we call the alternator now,
uh-huh.
see? It was called, the starter and generator was in one unit. On one end was the starter and on the other end was the generator.
Yes.
See? And it is silent.
Mm-hmm.
When we had a little button right behind the driver's seat, right down here, a little
yeah,
button with a
yeah.
head on
okay.
like that, with a steel pipe.
Yes, sir.
Now that would aggravate or rather that would be the switch.
Uh-huh.
Stuck for the starter, see?
Right.
All you had to do is just hit that starter and you wouldn't hear anything until you heard hear the motor crank up,
mm-hmm.
see?
Mm-hmm.
I got in the car, I mean, I cranked it up.
Uh-huh.
And I started the old road just like a washboard.
Yeah.
See, you have never driven on those kind of roads. It's supposed to have been a topsoil road, but it come, you know,
uh-huh.
little ridges about like that, maybe about that far apart.
Uh-huh.
We would develop, you know, what the car wheels and
yeah,
things would
yeah.
dig out, you know?
Right. Right.
See, and you drive fast on that thing, man, that car just bounced, but you couldn't control it.
Right.
But they had a T-model phone. It was hand cranked.
Mm-hmm.
When you see people get out and get in their car and one crank and the other one, they took two people to start with them things.
Right.
See? It took a man up there to control the inside, and a man out there to turn it.
Right, to turn it.
They were getting the car crazy when I left.
Mm.
And I was driving along there, you know, I was driving over 20 miles an hour because
yeah.
I was walking at one of those places where these ridges is all the way across the road.
Right.
See? You had to slow down when you got
sure.
there. If you didn't, you'd lose control of your car.
Right.
And so I was driving along there, and I didn't have no bad view mirror. You had to
turn your head. Yeah.
And I looked back. Some car, I don't know why I did. I looked back. Yeah, they come behind me. and you know, they tried to catch up with me.
Mm-hmm.
And boys, after I got out of that little spot, man, I got on some feet. The road was dry and dusty. I caught him up in the dust.
Good. Okay. Well, tell me about your wife now.
All right.
That was a good story then.
All right now. And then on that visit, you know, I told
uh-huh.
you, I came up here to see my big sister.
Yeah.
I didn't know nothing about she. I knew she had others. I knew them. I just knew two of them.
Uh-huh.
Her second, her brother that's just older than she.
Uh-huh.
We were in college together.
Uh-huh.
See, I
right.
knew him,
uh-huh.
and I knew her name was Bessie.
Uh-huh.
And somehow or another, It just came across my mind to come up here to see my big sister.
Oh, nice.
On a Saturday. Yeah, I came up here on Saturday. That's the first time I came here. And I met her out there, I want to connect it with this trip I was talking about where I was trying to find Lurly Gideon, who lived right across in St. That road about four houses, that mm-hmm. little road that comes up and go back over and hit 24.
Uh-huh.
See, now that's where I was supposed to turn to go to her house. I missed that road and went on down and got in the fair play. See?
Oh, I see. That's how you got there. Okay.
That's how I did.
Okay.
All right. So, wait, let me get myself together.
Okay.
You want to get that, I know.
Yeah.
Her name was Lurly Gideon.
Okay.
See? All right, now, then we go from there. Was in school too.
Uh-huh.
And she and her and my wife's sister Bessie and I all were classmates.
Uh-huh.
And she was my college girlfriend.
Oh. Uh-huh.
See? I'm talking about this Gideon money.
Yeah, Lurly Gideon.
And of course I had she had a boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
Was named Grant. He was from here in this area.
Uh-huh.
He lived here. Grant family. Of course now, he was her boyfriend.
Are you talking about your wife?
I'm talking about my wife.
Yeah, okay.
No, I'm talking about this other woman.
I'm talking about Lurly.
I'm talking about Lurly.
Okay. She had a boyfriend in Grant family.
Named Grant.
Okay.
I don't know how close they were, but I got between them.
Oh, my goodness.
And we got far enough along to be engaged.
Oh, okay.
See? Mm-hmm. And she was in a hurry to marry.
Oh.
See? That was in 1931.
Mm-hmm.
See? And in 1929, she was teaching in Pickens.
Mm-hmm.
See? I'd go over there maybe once a month, mm-hmm. you know. That distance from Green, but that was a long ways. You know?
Right, yes, sir.
And of course, now, I didn't have no transportation. I had to use my daddy's car, and the only time I could go is when he didn't have any use of the other part of the family, see?
Right.
We just had one car. So, my daddy understood it and all that. And we were engaged to marry. But in the meantime, my father passed, see?
Oh, uh-huh.
Here's another thing I want to bring into this. My son was born back then. That was what they called the Benevolent Society Barrel Aid.
Uh-huh.
See, a black organization.
Right.
See, and it covered part all of Greenville County,
uh-huh.
part of Lawrence County, and part of Spartanburg County.
Uh-huh.
See, where they would meet. In fact, it was. I don't know where you were. Have experienced or heard of, if that was their insurance.
Oh.
When a person would die.
Uh-huh.
See? A bell would cost you then about $50.
Uh-huh.
And that was money.
Oh, yeah. See?
And a lot of people didn't have money.
Mm.
They wrote up a little policy, a handwritten policy.
Uh-huh.
See? Handwritten record. They didn't give you any policy. Your name was on the record.
Yes,
see?
Sir.
If you were a paying member in there, pay 25 cents a month,
uh-huh.
see, then if a family wasn't able to, in fact, if they were able, they'd pay that $50 a barrel,
yeah.
see. No black undertakers at that time,
mm-hmm.
see.
Mm-hmm.
The white undertakers, they had, all of them had a black hearse.
Mm-hmm.
They had black horses.
Mm-hmm.
They hauled black folks in.
Right.
They had a white horse. They had white horses. Mm. They hauled white folks in.
Yeah, I think you told me that the other day. I think we had that already. Okay, that's good.
But we had so many people mm-hmm. that wasn't a member of this society.
Oh.
See,
mm-hmm.
Some of them were able to, on their own, to pay for the bill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to buy a coffin. They call them coffins then.
Uh-huh.
And they were made out of wood, covered with cloth.
Uh-huh.
See? And it didn't so vote. We didn't know about the vote. Mm-hmm. They dig a grave, you know, to have a grave.
Yeah.
And they measure that coffin.
Uh-huh.
And they'd dig a little trench below the bottom of that grave.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd put that coffin with the body in it in that little extra depth.
I see.
And they take plank
and
put over the top of it to keep from digging, hitting it straight.
Right.
First they do, they take paper and cover it.
Uh-huh.
And then they'd put plank over it. See?
Oh, yeah.
And then they'd put the dirt in. See, that's how they buried them.
Right.
See? And those people that weren't able to do it
were
the ones that, you remember I told you, I helped my daddy make coffee for people?
Yes. You did mention that.
I did mention that. Now, my daddy would make one of those coffee for $3.
Gee. Not much.
Buy the material, everything it took to make that coffee tree. I think I mentioned that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And I've helped my dad. My dad was a compass carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
He dressed them things up, and he'd whatever color or coven that they want, he'd buy that, and they make and the coven that they put, he put over after he got it together.
Right.
To cover that wood.
Mm-hmm.
See. It used that cloth. I think I told you what the same type of cloth my mother used to make our underclothes in.
Yes.
All right. You had different colors.
Uh-huh.
They're very limited different, but they did.
Hmm.
And he'd get the color there and all of that. He'd buy that stuff and fix it in and let them have $3. See? And the body was carried to the church in a wagon. Hmm. See?
Yeah.
And those that didn't have wagons walked behind in a funeral procession to come to the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's sufficient.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you want to talk?
You see which way I'm traveling.
Yeah.
See?
Right. Yes, sir.
And some of the experiences.
Oh yeah, that's good.
In my life. See?
That's good.
All right, now, where were we on, I'm ready for your question now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all right. As I said, I came up here. That tree that stump came off.
Uh-huh.
It sat right there, and I told you about that. I knew it was me going in through that, see?
The stump used to be right there at the hands.
But near around somewhere where it had been.
Right, okay.
And it shaded the porch.
Uh-huh.
And this was in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
And I was sitting there on the floor, had my feet hanging down.
Oh, on the porch.
Uh-huh. And they were eating watermelons when I got here. And Bessie said, she called me Whit.
Uh-huh.
In fact, everybody called me Whit that knows me very well. She said, don't call me nothing but Whit. Don't give me no Whitburg. Whit.
Whit. Okay.
And she said, Whit, want a piece of watermelon? I said, yeah. She went and cut me a nice, good slice of watermelon. See?
Uh-huh.
And my wife came out there, and I had seen her. She didn't introduce me to her.
Yeah,
you know.
What's her name?
Birdie May Curtin Wittenberg. That's my wife.
Birdie May.
You
Curtin
have her
Whitaker.
Name on this tape.
Okay, fine.
Your name on this tape as to who my wife was.
Yeah, okay. Birdie May Curtin Wittenberg. I wasn't sure if I did or not. So
well,
I'm
now, I want you to stop me anytime and question me, see?
Okay.
And I just met her. And she had long hair.
Uh-huh.
See? The hair stuck her way down here.
Uh-huh.
See?
Yeah, it was real long.
And that particular day, she was relaxed. They had been to the convention.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how she wore her hair. She didn't wear it that way when she go to church.
Yeah.
But you know how you do your change when you come home.
Right.
They had been to the convention that day.
Uh-huh.
See? And she wore it in one plait.
Oh, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. She wore it in one plait and it was hanging down her back.
Uh-huh.
And she looked like about a 16-year-old kid.
I'm sure, yeah.
And here I am, 26 years old, see?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I told, and Lily had, she was pushing me, and I told you the incident. No, I didn't either. Let me go back and clear that up. On my father's deathbed, I was the last one of any of his people to see him.
Oh, uh-huh.
See, I was there when he passed, see?
Uh-huh.
in this particular hospital, that this is the organization that was operating on Green Avenue in Greenville. See, no blacks, they didn't take no blacks in white hospital.
Right.
See? My daddy died in there, and my son was born in there. See? Now, you see the relevance to me.
Right, yeah.
See?
Right, sure. The connection.
Yeah, I see the connection. Why I want to get this on. On this tape. I thought about that after since we had our last concert.
Right.
See? All right. So I said, now, when she come back, I'm going to get this on that tape. See? So now let's get back to the relationship under which my daddy died, me sitting there talking to him.
Okay, you tell me about that.
All right. He from my baby sister was 12 years old. My daddy was every child, every one of us, whenever we became educationally qualified for college, offered us college education. And there was four out of my family accepted it. And the others, let me see, eight. One thing or the other, some of them got married early and whatever, you know, and they'd rather marry and go, see. And that's not so important.
Okay.
Not what I'm talking about. So he asked me, he said, Elsa, he always called me by my name, see. He said, "He says, I tell you, I was teaching school then. I want you to see that Geneva, that's my baby sister's name, see, at least get a high school education. See, I promised him. The reason why I didn't marry no earlier than I did.
Right.
I kept that promise. See. I couldn't see where I could support a wife.
Right. You were telling me why you didn't get married early, because
all
you
were
putting Geneva through school.
Yeah, put Geneva, be sure she got at least a high school education.
Yes, sir.
Well, I did that. I was the only one, except my younger brother. I hung around home, even though I'd be away teaching.
Right.
At my mother's house was my home.
Uh-huh.
I boarded. If it's too far to me to go back every day.
Right.
And all of my jobs I had. One of my first job was in Woodruff, South Carolina. The next job was at Fair Forest. The next job was at a little place called Yemisee, down near Beaufort. See?
Yeah.
And the next one was back there in the next joining community, see? And the next job of teaching was here.
Oh, here in...
Here
in West Union, you mean?
Huh?
Here in West Union? Here in West Union?
I was in West Union. I say here, but I meant in Greenville County.
Greenville County, okay.
Yeah. Well, after I had some problems there, and the North Carolina Mutual Insurance Company wanted an agent, you see, for Greenwood, see. I applied and got the job as an insurance agent with the North Carolina Left Classroom, see. And that was about 3 years before my wife's daddy passed, see. And we were living in Greenwood. She was teaching in one of the elementary schools there. I was the agent for the North Carolina Mutual Insurance Company when her father died. See, out of all of her, all of my mother-in-law's children, my wife was her pick. And she resembled her mother so much.
Yeah.
And features and everything.
And
disposition and all. One of these persons is ready to compromise anytime. And wasn't one of these folks who person that all of them wanted to treat themselves out. Mm-hmm. But she stood her ground.
Mm-hmm.
See? And so, just hold up, let me get myself together.
Sure.
After she finished high school, she went to a little place called Betty Academy for 2 years college. She mm-hmm. is a little 2 years college operated by black people.
Mm-hmm.
Down at a little place called Trellin, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. See?
Right.
She finished there. She got married before I did. After she married, then I married.
I see.
Her child, her son, her daughter,
uh-huh.
is 3 years older than my son.
I see. But Geneva got married first.
Geneva got married first.
I see. Okay.
So, that's the reason that I didn't marry until
1940. Right, right.
All right, we can go from here.
Okay. When we were talking about religion last time we met, I wanted to ask you, what other churches were important in your community besides the Baptist Church? Were there some other churches?
Well, we have Methodist churches and uh-huh. Church of God. It's about what the white folks have.
Uh-huh. Are there any that are no longer active that were active back then?
What?
The churches. Any that aren't
well,
active anymore?
Well, some is common. Some new ones yeah. have been. I mean, some has passed. Closed up.
Yeah.
And some new ones have come in to take the place.
Right. Did they have cemeteries at the churches?
Most of them did.
Uh-huh.
Most of the churches had their own cemetery.
And were they right at the churches?
Right near, right by the church. They got a lot big enough for the church and the cemetery.
Right.
Like every black church you see,
mm-hmm.
that is, say, 100 years old or more,
mm-hmm.
has its own cemetery.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember camp meetings when
yes,
you were young?
Yes.
Did you go to them?
Never been to one yet.
Oh, you didn't? what time of year were they held, do you know?
They held them in the summertime when
uh-huh.
on the break between the cultivating of the farm and the gathering uh-huh. of the farm. And that would be from, say, the middle of July
uh-huh.
till around the latter part of September.
Uh-huh.
That's why that most of the black churches have their revivals at that time.
Yeah.
Very worst time in the world to have a revival in the hottest part of the year.
Yeah, right.
Now, you take right here, where in the church I belong to here, I've been asking, I said, let's have it in spring or the fall.
Right.
Oh, it's always been this way. I can't see it, Yolanda.
Yeah, they should change it.
Huh?
When the weather's nice.
Do it for comfort.
Yeah.
See?
So hot.
Man, they're having revivals right now in black churches.
Gee.
I went to church yesterday. I heard them announce about 5 or 6 revivals that's going on this week among the Baptist churches in our Seneca River Association now.
Right now.
Starting tonight.
Mm.
See? Now who want to be sitting up in the church? Most of them don't have no air conditioning.
No.
See?
It's too hot.
It gets actually too hot. It's punishing yourself. See? When there's a season of the year,
yeah.
that they wouldn't have to have any heat, and they wouldn't have to have any air,
right.
air conditioning.
Right.
See?
Right. When you said you never went to a camp meeting, how come you didn't go to camp meetings?
My daddy was what I call a practical man.
Uh-huh.
He instilled in us, don't get excited. The only thing that I'd ever have there would be eating and singing and shouting.
Yeah.
See? You understand?
Right, right. And so you didn't
Well, why are you losing my time?
Right.
When I did that every Sunday.
Right.
All of that's good.
Yeah.
But he instilled in us.
Yeah.
Keep our feet on the ground.
Uh-huh.
See, that's the reason why I never had all kind of opportunities just then, but I never did.
So
I never been to one.
You never did.
I passed along by where they were going on,
uh-huh.
but I didn't even stop.
Right. Did you go to singing conventions?
Oh, yeah.
You did? Uh-huh. Where were they held?
They were held now. That's like the Seneca River Association.
Uh-huh.
They had a Seneca River singing convention.
Uh-huh.
Each church in it had a choir.
Uh-huh.
And they had a certain time of year that they have, and they go there and they sing all day.
What time of year was that?
They had that in October.
Uh-huh.
And see, they had enough sense to get... not to be in the cold.
Yeah, they had
enough. Or the heat.
Yeah. That was smart. How long would the singing convention last?
Just 3 days.
3 days?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Uh-huh. And you would go the whole time?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'd go every day because I like that singing.
Yeah. Were there any...
They sang those old notes, those shape notes.
Oh, uh-huh.
They didn't have any instruments back then.
Uh-huh.
See? I don't know where are you acquainted much with music?
I know, what the little notes are. And,
huh?
I know the different notes.
You know the different notes. Uh-huh. You know the old square notes.
Uh-huh.
Huh?
So they
Do, re, mi, fa, sa, la, do.
Yeah, right.
See?
Yeah.
You know about that.
Yeah.
Now that's the way they sang them according to the right of those notes.
I see.
See?
It's all note music.
All note music, uh-huh. See? But without the accompaniment of an instrument.
Hmm.
See?
Was there any kind of a contest or?
Yeah, it'd be a contest.
It would be.
Yeah, and they have a little token that they give the man worn out.
Did you all ever win?
A little financial contribution. Oh, nice.
Did your group ever win?
Yeah, we win, we lose.
Who was the head of your singing convention? Who was your leader?
A fellow named Paul Swinney was hitting me.
Paul?
P-A-U-L,
uh-huh.
Swinney, that's W-E-E-N-E-Y.
Uh-huh. And he was your leader, uh-huh.
And he was the president and the leader of the choir in our church.
Uh-huh.
See?
Uh-huh. What were some of your favorite songs? What did you like to
sing? All them good old hymns and
yeah.